like it is.
Hi, and welcome to the SEO Podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, one of the owners here at eWeb Results.
Hi, my name is Matt Bertram. I'm the Unicorn Hunter.
The Unicorn Hunter, yeah.
Grower, you've got
the
trainer.
I like Unicorn Trainer.
Unicorn Trainer.
Yeah. I mean, you could even be a unicorn poop collector, because apparently that's like ice cream or something.
That is fundamentally fantastic commercial advertising.
Yeah. You too should be a unicorn poop collector. We've got a training program just for you. Scoop
and you can
all
eat
the poop
out
you can.
Gosh, you just can't look away from that. It's so awesome.
It's just like an ice cream dispenser. Be careful of your eyes. We are broadcasting live for here from Houston, Texas, and Matt and I, we are your results rebels. I got to jump into this review.
Yeah.
A review here, and it's from Johnny Costa, and it says, "Punch in the face to you guys. I've started listening to your podcast for a couple of months," and he just submitted this January 20th. That was like 3 days ago, and it says, "I can only say you guys are awesome. So much knowledge and mastery shared by you. I can't recommend you enough to all my marketer friends. Keep it coming. We are waiting for the kickoff of the podcast in 2020. We've made it by the 23rd. Jess, thank you. Really, patif to you, Johnny. We really appreciate you doing that. And we know, guys, we're marketers.
This is the kickoff of 2020.
Kickoff. We know as marketers, you were probably just trying to give us that nudge to go like, hey, dudes, like, don't forget the podcast. Because we are 23 days into the new year. And yeah, patif to you, Johnny. We really appreciate you taking the time.
And really, you know, we love talking and communicating with other marketers. I actually had some really high-level SEOs in earlier this week,
yeah.
and we were exchanging some ideas. There's been a lot of algorithm changes with GMB,
yep.
And I absolutely love that. And, you know, one of the things that we're starting to get a lot of requests for
right.
is trainings, right, and workshops. And,
yep.
You know, we've heard you, and that is on the agenda for 2020 is masterminds, workshops, more in-depth education to translate or communicate or transfer, I guess, some of that knowledge, information, mastery to you, not just on SEO or PPC or strategy, but even fundamental structuring of how you want to grow an agency.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what I got a lot of requests for is there's a lot of people out there with a lot of great knowledge, but they get overwhelmed so quickly and they're like, how do I scale?
Well, and I think there's room even for some coaching because for my other business, My Vital C, I'm looking for Amazon experts to like help in the Amazon arena. And I got on the phone with this guy and I went to his website and I gave him like three tidbits, like your website should say Amazon. Like, it should say Amazon. Maybe you want to use the logo. Maybe you don't want to use the logo. That's a different issue. But at least if somebody lands there on the homepage, because I'm looking at it and it looked like a standard digital marketing agency, and he literally only does Amazon. Actually, cool tidbit. He says all of his employees have their own Amazon stuff that they're selling.
That should be a requirement.
Yeah.
Right?
And he's like, some customers don't like that because they're in, you know, quote unquote, in competition potentially. But I'm like, yeah, I want that. You guys need to have side projects. A lot of the people here have little side projects. They have their own blogs. Like that's,
yeah.
Adds value to the company overall.
Well, you referred somebody to me that we referred to that team. And we are developing partners. So
yeah.
If you're really good at something, we are open to partnerships. One of the things we're probably gonna do is some kind of vetting process
right.
to make sure that when people come to us for recommendations, if it's not our core strength and we refer it out,
we wanna have confidence.
We wanna have confidence that's not gonna come back on us.
Yeah.
So that is something we're doing. I think that will probably be associated with some kind of mastermind or something like that.
Yeah.
But bottom line is, this guy, so he came to me, like showed me what he was selling. He was selling like plastic forks or something like that. And
wow,
like,
that sounds really
like,
low,
like
low
very,
margin.
very low margin.
Isn't that no margin?
But here's the kicker. So like I'm not the Amazon expert, even you are.
Right, right.
Especially not who we referred him to.
Right.
But his budget was extremely low, and he was like, I'm competing against Amazon Basics. And I was just
like,
so you're spending money on the Amazon platform on plastic forks and spoons
to outperform
Amazon Basics. And I go, I'm just going to fundamentally tell you that I think that that's a losing strategy.
Stop it.
And I would stop that immediately.
Yeah, save your money.
And I was like, that's really my recommendation to you. But I have somebody that I can refer you to that may be able to help you more. But I've seen fundamentally, like, you need to increase your basket price to at least $500 if you're going to be selling stuff online. Because he was talking about Facebook. He was talking about AdWords. Actually, he was talking about SEO. And I was like, SEO on plastic forks. And then I pulled it up. And I was like, DA80. And I was like, and budget was like $200-$300. And I was like, man, this is the wrong strategy. I would continue to sell on these different platforms. I would sell a different product mix. I would figure out how, actually, he sold a certain type of product. Yeah. And I was like, you could actually outrank that product for its name.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But also, how are you a differentiator? We were talking about USPs last podcast. Like, but fundamentally, I was looking at this thing. And like, even when I work with companies, I try to put myself in their shoes and say, knowing what I know,
what I like to have,
like what would I do? Like, what would I do in their shoes, knowing what I know, trying to grow their business? And I was like,
shut it down.
Yeah, I was like, stop spending money.
You were like, you're never gonna wonderful on Shark Tank. It was like, look, you should just stop. I forbid you from ever doing this business again. You should never sell a plastic fork ever again.
Against Amazon on Amazon's platform. Yeah. Like that goes back to like people selling competing things.
Yeah.
That's just what triggered it for me. I was like, that's just a losing strategy.
Yeah. 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 All right. So this is part two of our two-part podcast. And that podcast is, I've got the sheet somewhere. Hold on. I've got to find the front of the sheet so that I can mention it. It's 10 things that you must have, right? 10 must-have elements to develop your brand identity by Mr. Ron Liebach. And Search Engine Journal is where we found this article. We love the guys over at Search Engine Journal. They do some pretty amazing stuff, and they keep us with lots of content that we can share with you and then add our own tidbits. So we covered the first 5 in the last podcast. That was podcast 472. Now we're going to cover the next 5. Number 6 is no me talk. Be genuine and add endless value. So I can't agree more with be genuine. I can't agree more with add endless value. I mean, endless is kind of hard to do, but add in, I mean, we do that in the podcast, right? We're continually delivering value in this podcast continuously.
So I actually have, I've found out from existing clients that we have that the primary, because these are like bigger marketing agencies or not marketing agencies, sorry, like in-house agencies. Like, right. So they know how to do like what we're doing.
Yeah.
And the primary thing that they're wanting from services, because we've just recently started to break out the strategy,
right,
was the lull conversations of like picking our brains.
Right. Right.
Okay. Of like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And like, I actually had someone tell me, it was like, yeah, like I'm buying services and I like what you're doing, but and that's great, right? Yeah. Like the execution's great, but really what, like how you see attacking this campaign or like this marketplace and just kind of the one-off conversations is where the real value, because they know a lot of this stuff, but trying to stay cutting edge, right? And so, you know, I think that in this current marketplace or economy, it's like you give value first, right? And people want to see it, so show it, right? And so I know there was one other component, right, to what you were saying, right?
Yeah, so one of the things he says in here, and I'm not sure that this is true, past accomplishments are an essential element to building a strong brand identity, but it shouldn't be the focus. When a brand brags about their accomplishments, it's a sign they are stuck in the past. I don't, like, you should be bragging about your accomplishments. Now, they should be updated, right? So it's the accomplishment that we did yesterday and the one that we did yesterday. But I don't think bragging about your accomplishments in any way. I think if you brag about really old accomplishments, and that means different things in totally different industries.
So those awards of like best marketing agency 2014, we should take those down.
Yeah, I think we should take them down out with the old fax machine and you know destroy them with a hammer.
Oh my gosh, we could make an office space video.
and then to follow that up, he says the brands that will garner the most brand identity strengths are those that offer innovative services and products and communicate it with a focus on the future over the past. And I think that's a profound statement. I really like that.
Okay.
But I do think they go like,
well,
you should always be bragging about the past, because that's the thing. Like, I'm literally vetting an Amazon vendor and an affiliate vendor right now, and I'm at the stage where, what have you done for other people?
The past predicts the future, or the likelihood. There's some metric or data point or quote that's associated with that.
Well, the usual quote is past performance is not a prediction of future performance when you're talking about like a stock or a bond or whatever. That's the most famous.
I feel like it is the predictor. Like, past performance is a future
in a business
predictor.
And in a service. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. And let's be realistic. Even though there's this statement which says, you know, I think it's even a federally required statement, past performance is not indicative of future success or whatever. Why are we looking at the past results of a particular stock or a particular bond? Because we're expecting that what it did in the past, it's going to do in the future.
Yeah, and I think case studies, I think testimonials, I think they all have their place. I think maybe what he was saying was, you know, how do you display them? How do you, because we're talking about a brand, like, think about your brand and like, you know, how are you presenting that information? I do think that, you know, storytelling, I think that the art of the possibility is absolutely part of that story too, but it's a balance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So fill them with confidence about the past and then give them a vision for the future. I think those are things that are really important. All right. Number 7, focus on positives. Now he quotes Zig Ziglar.
And like, anything that Zig Ziglar said, I would take it.
Positive thinking will let you do everything better than negative thinking will. There's really good results.
Data that shows that it's like 20% or even 10% if you just think positive going into something, you're going
to
do better on.
Yeah, it's when we have the corporate training. One of the things that we do to make sure our team is fresh on focus and delivering great value to our customers is bring in like world-class trainers.
Yeah.
And one of them talked about when you have a positive mindset, when doctors have a positive mindset, they actually accurately diagnose conditions with 30% higher accuracy.
That makes sense, but blows my mind.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Because, we always kind of assume doctors are like a fixed scientific entity. And in reality, they're humans like everyone else. And so...
Well, going into doctors, like, you got to think about surgeons. And you're like, where on the bell curve of the graduating class were you?
Where on the bell curve?
Like, not all doctors, it's not a commodity.
Yeah.
Okay, when you go to a doctor, it's not a commodity.
Yeah.
Or a plastic surgeon or whatever.
You want the expert.
Like, you want the expert.
And
really what I've found as we start doing marketing for a lot of these guys is, like, they have a reputation among other doctors. And there's, like, a word of mouth associated with that. And people have different opinions of other people.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you're just looking, online... Okay, as a consumer, you might not see some of that stuff, and it's really quite scary.
Yeah.
So I think that you want to put the best foot forward, but you also got to be a little careful with marketing.
Yeah.
Okay, like, don't take it for face value. I mean, that book Influence, that came out by Cialdini was actually
brilliant,
talking about how to watch out for some of these things.
Yeah, to train you how to not fall prey to these techniques.
But companies took it and say like,
we're going to use that.
I'm going to implement
these. Perfect.
And so, I mean, I don't have my Be a Good Human shirt on anymore, but really, you know, think about what you're offering and make sure the value proposition matches up with that.
Yep.
I think is super important. And don't boast beyond what you can deliver,
or
that's going
to
affect your reputation.
One of the things that he talks about here is leave the negative criticism to news writers, focus on the positive future. And I got to tell you, with My Vital C, I'm in a situation where there's a guy in the industry who says he's selling a product that has the raw ingredient and actually doesn't have the raw ingredient.
See, that's what I was talking about.
And
stuff like that.
I labored over what do you do? Because in general, when you go negative, you bring the whole industry down. And we're the industry leader for sure. I don't want to bring the industry down. And then I actually ultimately decided to do a video which proved very simply and very accurately that he doesn't have any C60 in this context in his product. Like, there's none in it. And it's easy to prove. But I did it and put it out there because he's not actually in my industry. Like, he's claiming to be in the industry, and he has the potential, if he goes out and hurts somebody, to actually get the industry shut down. And that's the only, and I could say a lot of negative things about a lot of other vendors out there, and I choose not to because I like to believe they're doing the best they can, and they, although they may have an inferior product, what value do I bring to the industry? Just going, his is bad, his is bad.
Well,
bad.
I don't really like when I'm talking to people for a product or service that build themselves up by cutting other people down.
Yeah, no.
Now, one of the things that you were talking about that I was rolling around in my head going, is this the same thing or not?
Yeah.
Okay. So, there's some industries out there like cybersecurity and stuff like that, is raise the awareness of the current issues that people might not be aware of.
Scare the crap out of people. That's the best marketing strategy. And then offer the solution.
And really people are like, I don't know if it's three times more likely, but people are three times more likely
There's a number
to move on fear.
Significantly more likely.
Yeah, to move on fear than on the potential of gain. They've done all these studies of like, you know, would you rather lose the $10 or lose the $5 versus the potential of gaining 10? And like, people are so risk adverse.
Yep.
And so really there is some PR guerrilla marketing strategies out there of certain things that you raise the awareness of the certain issue of the product or service that you're offering.
Yeah.
Preppers or whatever, like that are like, there's a big e-commerce industry of like preppers, right? And they're constantly posting, pushing out like all the volcanoes that are going off and like into the world, like
it's on its way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
More evidence.
Yeah.
And so those work in those environments, and there may be situations, and know that you perform better when you're positive, and that your industry performs better when you're positive. And
I agree with that.
Me too. Number eight, make promises and then stick to them, right? So
that's just fundamental.
It is, right? Because it doesn't take long for people to realize that company makes promises and then actually doesn't deliver, right? It also doesn't take long for them to realize that that company makes these promises and then they actually deliver, and they deliver with great communication and a team that's worth raving about. Make those promises, stick with them. Powerful brand identity constantly makes promises and sticks to them. Authenticity streams loyalty, turning customers, clients, patients, and readers into fans. And really, there's a great book called Raving Fans, which talks about how do you convert a typical customer into a raving fan so that you no longer really need to say a marketing department, right? Because all of your customers are out there, singing your song of praise and sending customers your direction.
So one of the other things that I know doesn't necessarily fall in here, but again, it was another kind of trigger of how my brain's connected.
Yeah.
Like, you talk about something that makes me think of something else. So I go on all these kind of random tangents sometimes. I'm sorry, but they all are relevant and tie back to some degree. not the aliens. But what I can tell you is, before you invest in marketing and SEO and online PR, make sure you have a good product. Make sure you have a good business model, because I think that this is potentially another Dan Kennedy, but if you do that marketing and let people know, you're just letting people know
how bad you suck.
How bad you are at delivering that product or service.
Yeah.
So fundamentally, before you start doing marketing, make sure that you have that good product or service. Now, on the flip side, there is some books out there. One's called Content Inc., and it talks about building an audience, which you were kind of talking about, and then finding a product or service to sell into that. But really, fundamentally, when I look at startups that fail or don't fail, like venture-backed, whatever, is the people that are working on a need right now, and they've found actually a solution to that need – those are the products that spread and people want to use when there's a legitimate problem, there's a legitimate solution, and then you apply marketing magic, right? To it.
Quote unquote magic.
Boom. Yeah. That's when it transfers and hits like wildfire, and you have these hugely successful businesses and unicorns.
Yes.
See, I tied it back to unicorns. Look at that.
You brought it all back.
I didn't think I was going to be able to do that. I wasn't even thinking about that.
So number eight, make promises and stick to them.
Yes.
Number nine, extend your brand at every opportunity. At first, I thought he was like, hey, now you got a brand, make a new product, which is, by the way, bad decision. Like, typically, that type of growth or that strategy for growth ends up causing problems. But he's really talking about, hey, it needs to be in your email signature. It needs to be on your business card.
Sent from iPhone?
It needs to send from...
Like, there's a whole case study on, like... That
send from iPhone.
Yeah, it was. Ooh. I mean, I was just brilliant.
Yes,
actually.
So you want to make sure that you're extending it into every place that you can. If you're gonna, I don't know, throw up some commercial on LinkedIn, you want to make sure that it's got eWeb Results branding on it, right? You've got to make sure.
So you're telling them if they're gonna run a commercial,
yes,
they need to make sure to have our branding on
everyone.
That.
We're gonna be everywhere really quickly.
I just wanted to clarify
because you guys work with me. I was trying to do that subtly, so they'd be like. So
I'm just processing this information.
Someday they'd be like,
I was like, okay, yeah, do that. Yeah, yeah.
Look at my commercial. Why does it say eWeb Results on it? That's what Chris said to do. Think of every single area when you are represented and extend your brand to that area. And that goes to like we've talked in, I think in the previous podcast about showing up at a location with a really great website and then you show up at the location and make sure that that brand, that you have continuity through the location. So everywhere you can, you need to have continuity of branding. And then finally, 10. Remember, this is an article that I found that was 10 must-have elements to develop your brand identity. Petif to Ron Liebach. Number 10 is don't forget to evolve. By the way, this may not apply to
any
industry
to
more
every,
than us.
This applies to every industry, in my opinion.
Yeah. And some more than others.
Well,
right?
Look, this is what I've seen. Businesses start.
Yep.
With whatever they know or business owners.
Whatever differentiation they have.
Whatever
solution, differentiation.
And they build on that. Okay. Or they get stuck in that. And like, look at what is it? Kodak. Like IBM had some issues. Microsoft had some huge issues until they reestablished. They didn't evolve with the times. With the internet. Like, people saw certain things as fads, but yeah, like the reason we do the podcast really is to stay up to date, right?
Yep.
And that's why you started 10 years ago, to stay up to date with the constantly moving target of SEO. SEO is hard. It's getting harder. And you got to continuously know what changes are being done to know how to help, boost the visibility of businesses online. But I can tell you that if you don't evolve, most businesses that I see aren't using the internet or don't understand how the internet impacts them, and they're getting left in the dust.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what really, and there's this widening gap of businesses that are leveraging new technologies and businesses that aren't. And what I see in a lot of businesses, they start with whatever's new or whatever they know at the time, and then 10 years go by and they haven't changed at all, and they're just operating like it's antiquated. Does that make sense?
That may be what
is that Ron, what he's talking about?
Well,
I don't
that
even
may
know.
Be what Ron was talking about when he says if you're only talking about the past.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if you're stuck and you're not evolving, then you only have the past to talk about.
And he's talking about Apple and Tesla, and then he's talking about the Beatles. So
intertwined. Yeah, he had
and psychedelics. I'm just really confused.
It's getting more interesting.
I need to know. We need to get him on a podcast or something. I need to know what makes this guy tick.
He says the strongest brands are going to change with the times, right? So as times change, the strongest brands will change. His conclusion, when people have multiple choices, they naturally refine their needs and become extremely picky. Yep, I think that's true. And the goal is to create a business or personal brand identity so strong that you're the only choice. That could even be a quote out of your book here at some point, like really close. Like, you want to make sure that you're the trusted advisor so that you're the only person that somebody would go to.
Well, there's a lot in that statement that we could parse out and unpack. I think that there are data points that suggest if people understand your brand early on, there's a higher weight to them selecting you. That's like kind of really the fundamental point of branding, of like people recognize you, so they're more gravitated to you. But now that like people are using user reviews, there's so many different components of that. But if you build a strong brand, you're selling value.
Yeah.
You're not selling a commoditized service, and everybody should be in that, or it's a race to the bottom.
Yeah.
And like efficiencies and execution and all those things are important. But why do people buy Gucci? Why do people buy Louis Vuitton? Why do people buy Apple? Well, it's a great product or service or whatever. I talked a lot about products, but also, why are the iPhones white like when they were the cords?
Right?
Because people, all of them were black.
So they could stand out. Yeah.
So they could stand out. And so you're making a statement. And I think that that goes back to the fundamental definition of what a brand is when you wear like this shirt or when you drive this car, what the marketers are trying to do is associate it with a feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. They're saying if you drive this car, you believe this is your ideology.
This
is what you believe, or you're going to have this positive experience, or you're going to be able to whatever. Like all these commercials, like they don't even make sense really because they're not selling the features of
they're selling the feeling.
Yeah. They're selling the feeling.
Yeah,
like drinking Coca-Cola is a feeling.
Dos Equis.
Dos Equis.
Like it's not like that. Like, I didn't even say like you will feel like the world's most interesting man when you drink Dos Equis. It's like, look, the world's most interesting man.
And this is
over
what
here. There's Dos Equis. Like it's just by guilt by association.
And I think that to stay relevant, the businesses, brands evolve.
Yeah.
And the businesses evolve, and then you know it really I think is associated with your identity and brands that you wear. Are reflecting to the world who you are, what you care about, and your value structure.
Yep.
And to try to unpack that here in a summary thought, it would be extremely difficult. But yes, like it's a good, is this a summing up sentence?
Well, this is, this is interesting. The goal is to create a business or personal brand, we got this, so strong that you're the only choice. This takes time, patience, and loads of discipline. And one of the things that kind of resonated with me for that is this podcast, right? We've been broadcasting since 2009, delivering value to internet marketers and businesses since 2009, and are continuing to do it now going into 2020, now going to podcast number 473. And that's time, patience, and loads of discipline, which permeates throughout the rest of eWeb Results. And that's like a core thing to our brand. I mean, if you're interested in hiring an internet marketing agency, we've talked in the past about, hey, what are they doing to keep really good people? But also, what are they doing to make sure they're on top of the latest trends in the industry? And that's one of the big reasons we do this podcast.
And I think that that's how the expertise is shown and communicated, and also the goodwill and value is given. But you know, really, we are a lot of times, okay, we got a referral.
Yeah.
Okay. With the largest agency here in Houston. I will not mention their name.
Yep.
But we're crushing them in PPC, which that's what they built their whole company on with clients.
That's
that
their focus.
Artists.
Yeah.
And I'm going to build a case study. I'm going to get a video testimonial and we'll see how it goes because I want to stay positive. But bottom line is crushed like 100% better.
Yeah.
Like
literally 100% better.
Literally like... Basically, they spent $66,000 in AdWords with this other agency. They spent $33,000 with us. And at the end of the year, we were within 6 leads of them.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a legitimate.
100% better.
Like, that's 100% better.
Savings, yeah.
So we got a large company that's launching in the US market. And they want to base themselves in Houston. So they're looking for a Houston-based agency. And they looked around, and this is over in the UK, of 2 agencies.
Yeah.
Us and
them.
Them,
the other one.
Them. And guess who they called first?
Yeah.
Us, right? And I think that there's something to be said there. And I think that you need to think about your USP and kind of trying to tie together all these different concepts of what makes you and make sure that you're continuously working on that brand and communicating what you want to attract. And then you're going to find those right customers and you're going to deliver that right value if you're constantly evolving and improving who you are, what you do, and how you communicate.
Yeah.
That's my summer stuff.
I like that summary. Yeah. That was really good.
I wasn't prepared. It was just kind of
off the cuff.
Off the cuff.
That was good. You should do that more. You should try things without planning more often. All right. So I don't know if we covered Shiko in this podcast. I think, you know, if you could do us a small favor, Shiko, which is
share, like, follow.
Shiko Boom us.
Shiko Boom. Yeah, Shiko that was coined last podcast.
Back on that last podcast. Yeah. Shiko Boom us. You know, help us spread the word. We don't get paid to do this podcast.
We're trying to, though. We're looking for sponsors because I've been on a couple other podcasts that they have sponsorships. So we're open to sponsorships. Rush has reached out to us in the past. Yeah. We're going to develop that. We're setting up a Patreon account. So if you want to buy us a cup of coffee. So Chris says that he wants you to pay us in reviews. I understand that. I also like cold,
cash hard,
cash
cold
money,
hard
you
cash.
Know, and we are looking for sponsorships. We are developing the brand, evolving as that is kind of, changing some different kind of formats that we're going to be putting out content. And if you want to get involved in that or you want to sponsor, now we will not just take your money.
Yeah.
Okay. It's got to be a good product or service that's going to add value to marketers and audience. And so, you know, affiliate products and, different listing tools, third-party tools that you can use. We're definitely open to that sort of thing. And even, you know, there's some brands out there in, other areas that, we don't service if you're delivering a quality product, like we definitely, if we have clients that we can't help, we want to send them your way.
Yeah.
So we are open to sponsorships. We will be having a Patreon account on bestseopodcast.com. Reviews are good
still
too.
Very important.
But I just wanted to kind of insert that because I haven't said that
you
before.
Have multiple options.
Yes, you have multiple options.
Yes, to encourage us to continue.
But give us reviews. They are helpful. And you know, a lot of the consulting we do, we don't charge for it. We do have a paid consulting session, but we want to help you. We really do. And, you know, a review for, 20, 30 minutes of time, I think is wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, and I very much appreciate it. And we thank you really for all that you do. And you helped us create what we've created.
And you can actually just go to ewebresults.com/G+, and that'll take you literally
see,
right
you
to
see
the
that
screen.
Evolving, changing with the times thing? Yeah. Like G plus is dead.
It's the old.
Dead. It's
so
died.
It's gotta be GMB. It's gotta be GMB. G plus works though. Go try it.
GMB, we gotta change. Yeah.
Well, we do have, 400 podcasts that mention G plus.
Well, it's just a redirect, right?
Yeah, it's just a redirect. If you have a referral, somebody who's interested in internet marketing, send them to us. They pay their bill. We'll pay you or we'll give you credit towards services.
Just there's options. Like, just we'll work something out. Like we really can't go through the list of everything.
And if you are interested in growing your business with the simplest, largest marketing tool on the planet.
The internet.
Call eWeb Results for increased revenue in your business, 713-592-6724. You can find us on our website, ewebresults.com.
You know what I was going to say, like, after you said that? I was going to say, just do it. And then I was like, we're going to get sued. And I was like, just go, like, take action. Take massive action.
Do it.
Yeah,
just grow your business. We help.
So I'm gonna just take the just off.
Yeah.
Do you think they own?
Do it.
Like with a big period or so. Yeah. Okay, here's the interesting thing. I saw this little random.
Yeah.
It's called Explained on Netflix.
Yep.
But it talked about exclamation points and the history behind exclamation points.
I saw that.
Yeah, it was crazy, and it was like someone came up with this. It didn't last because exclamation point can mean a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But it was a question mark with an exclamation point in it. And it was this like whole marketing thing. And it was called like a something bang.
I did see that.
You know what I mean? And so I was like, we could just say do it. And then like that like thing.
Thing.
Like,
The question mark, exclamation mark. Which
yeah,
is
thing. And then it's like, nah, that's not copyrighted.
Maybe we should copyright it.
Who knows?
Hey, this has been great. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for making us the most popular SEO and one of the most popular internet marketing podcasts on iTunes. That is because of you. We really appreciate you.
Yes.
And it's iTunes and all the other platforms, of course. Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now.
This is my intro song. This is my intro song.
Cut. Let him do the rapping. No.